Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2672. That's 2672. Tonight we have question and answer night, and you can call in, you know, during the conversations that we're going to be having tonight. And the telephone number here is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. And you can ask anything that you want. Tonight we're going to have Dr. Tina Medina on, and she is from Kansas City. And she's going to tell us a little bit about herself. And those of you that are listening, okay, you can get a feel for what she has gone through in her life, and she certainly is very successful today. You see, there is life after abuse, okay? We will not let it define who we are. Absolutely not. We are survivors. Okay, so let me read the mission statement, and then we'll go to the doctor, okay? We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts of that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone, and that we do know. Number two, offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Recovery. Yes, listen. People who are listening who are not familiar with our website, I suggest that you do get familiar with it because you get a tremendous amount of information from it. And that's NASCA, N-A-A-S-C-A, www.nasca.org, nasca.org. And you scroll down a little bit, you'll see red lines. You open up those red lines. Each one has a title. One is for programs, which I highly recommend. I use it all the time. And you have highlights. You have all different kinds of things. And a menu drops down. And there's so many different topics under, say, like how to speak to your child about child abuse or what you can do as a survivor to get even further along on your healing journey. There's just all different kinds of information that people need to know for their home, for their own life, and just to move on in their healing journey. So we offer a lot of things. And, again, the programs are very, very good. Okay. So, Dr. Tina Medina, tell us a little bit about yourself. Go ahead.
Well, I am a Hispanic American, and I'm about 55 years old. And when I was 10 years old, my uncle molested me. And it was something that for like almost 22 years, I kept it as my dark secret. And I would experience nightmares and a lot of just being very uncomfortable around him. And it wasn't until I was about 32 years old that I told my family and I went to a Pentecostal church and gained deliverance. But it was something that really had a had an effect on me, in which I thought it was something that, you know, hey, just keep it to yourself. You know, it's a hush-hush taboo type of issue. And then it wasn't until later on that I realized in Bible college that I should deal with it, right? And I should really begin to write about it to help other people. And I'm very grateful that I went to that church service, because a minister ministered to me. But again, in Bible college, I decided, well, let's go ahead. And, you know, I just felt really led. I had a kidney transplant in 2008. And once I received my new kidney, I just felt like I had a whole new era, a whole new page of life. And I just really wanted to write an adult book to help adults overcome sexual abuse. And so that's how it all became something now as a really a major part of my life, to help people and to share and to let people know, like you said, you know, there is life after sexual abuse. And thank God for your organization, which provides so much valuable material. Because in getting that information, there's that whole element of help, you know. And so it truly is a, like you said, a road, a journey to recovery. But also, life is not over. You know, there is inner healing. There is happiness. There is joy. And most importantly, there is hope, you know, to help other people.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you must have felt a lot lighter and better after you told of your experiences that you went through with your uncle. I know that in my case, I told all the time, but it did no good. So until in 1975, I did the same thing you did. And, you know, I had people help me. There were counselors there. And then there were even more than counselors. There were therapists. There was, you know, all kinds of different people. And we have a prayer group of over 200. You're going to have all walks of life come in. So we had that help. And that's when I started to live. That's when I started to feel better about Carol, because it is not our fault, okay? It's not our fault. These things, we're not brought into this earth to be abused, okay? We don't ask right. for it. And, you know, and people have to learn, you know, different ways and to know of different programs or whatever so that they can seek that help. And who wants to be, you know, go to their grave? I've known of people who have done that. Go to their grave because they never told and they never got the help that they needed. And they lived a miserable life, okay, a miserable life. And, you know, a lot of times those are the people that are down at the end of the bar that are drunks. You know, I hate to put it that way. I'm a drunk. I was. You know, I stopped drinking in 1981. So, you know, you were so filled with so much anguish and anger and so much sorrow, you know, and all kinds of different things that needs to be healed. People need to heal. Tell us about what you think, how people should go about healing. Go ahead and talk about what you were talking about before. Go ahead.
I believe that, and I've done like just 2 hours of research just today, and I'm very happy to inform people that there are the area of help and hope is growing in regards to faith-based therapy, holistic therapy, and of course we've always had traditional therapy. And I just want to encourage our listeners right now that the federal government post-COVID, well, not, let me say mid-COVID, because we're not necessarily post-COVID yet, but mid-COVID, there are a lot of federal dollars earmarked for counseling. And even in the writing community, there are now $1,000 grants for writers to go and get therapy and go and get help. And there's no limit it's open therapy. So I would just really encourage everyone to, you know, go call, I guess, 311 or get on the internet and kind of focus on local resources, because right now it is open. The floodgates are open in regards to free help, right, money that has been earmarked for mental health. And just to know that, you know, there is hope out there. And right now there's free help. So let's take advantage of that. And if anyone feels like, you know, I'm like you were saying, if someone takes the secret to their grave with them, nobody benefits. Right? And why live in that anguish and that pain and that misery and that depression when we know today there's help out there? And whether you need to see a minister or a pastor or a holistic therapist, there's the healing arts therapy. There's all kinds of therapy in regards to the holistic community, but also your county or your city local mental health provider. Generally, you could just call them up and just, you know, say, hey, I need help in regards to sexual abuse, and I'm low on funds, you know, and I need help, and they have money earmarked for you right now. So I just want to encourage everyone to consider some self-love in stopping the pain, right, and in listening to yourself and knowing that if you are in pain, if you are sad, if you are experiencing depression, if you are even suicidal, to know that today is a day of self-love. And in self-love, let's reach out to those providers that are there and available for you, because I believe now is the time. There's something really special about this summer that I believe more people are going to just get the help that they need.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're right. I hope you're right about that, because there's so many people that are so, you know, still so ashamed to talk about it, especially if it's generational and if it's in the family, okay? If it's in the family, and yep. I had two in my family that couldn't keep their hands to themselves, we'll put it nicely. And, you know, quite frankly, even when I wrote my book, and Bill will tell you too, I didn't mention my brother because I was scared to death of him. I thought he'd kill me, absolutely, if I, you know, told the truth. And see, this is how they so get a hold. They get their meat hooks into you, you know. They put that fear into you. So a lot of times people don't want to talk about, especially like with incest. I can say it so freely today. I can speak about my brother who abused me so freely today. And if I were to write my book over, it would be different. I wrote it 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago. And during that time, there was not that much help out there. There was some, don't get me wrong. But not as much as there is today, you know, and certainly not in our community. I mean, I can't think of any place in this community where I'm at right now. I am going to start going down to the ladies' clubs. Oh, my God, I never thought I'd do this. But I'm going to go down to the ladies' club and just let them know about NASCA. I have been handing out all kinds of cards in this area so that people learn about NASCA. And that there is help out there, you know.
Absolutely.
The police department. Yeah, even the police department. You know, because, you know, whether you're a kid, there should be something available for children who are being abused. What do you have in your, where you live in Kansas City, do you have anything for children that are being abused?
Community? I'm getting ready to launch I'm trying to get a grant to launch our free book giveaway for children. And there is the Sunflower House in Kansas, in Olathe, Kansas, and they specialize in children sexual abuse recovery. But right now we don't have any, to my knowledge, we don't have a faith-based or a holistic center for children. So that is a goal, definitely. But no, you're absolutely right. There is a need for resources out there. But I encourage you to reach out to your community, Carol, because I know if we can start even a small grassroots movement to let people know, you know, there is help. And you don't have to, do you remember, I've always, when I was a kid, like in my teenage years, I kind of felt like I had this deep, dark secret. And if anyone finds out about it, I'm going to be so just ashamed and embarrassed. And as time goes by, the more I tell my story, the more empowering it is, and the more that I share, especially with, like, my neighborhood. We're trying to get a grant here locally just to share and let people know, hey, I have these books. It's okay, right? It's okay to let people know, hey, I was wounded, I was hurt, I was ashamed, I was broken. But on my journey and my path, there is hope and there's healing. And most of all, it's okay to tell our truth, right? It's okay to release that, because I believe there's a lot of power when survivors begin to, you know, I know it's scary at first, but once you begin to tell your story and then take that journey of being empowered step by step by step to help others, because we never know. There may be another person, right, struggling with, hey, who do I tell, right? I'm ready to share my pain with, but who do I go to? So I do believe it's a time of just openness. And I don't know if you watch a lot of YouTube, but even on YouTube, there's a lot of sharing going on. And I was just really impressed with the magnitude of people creating YouTube videos and literally sharing what happened to them and kind of where they're at now. But we're seeing something a little different now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I totally, totally agree. When I wrote my book, I say this every once in a while, there was only one other book on Amazon like mine. That's it. Okay? And that was under child abuse. One other book. And I thought, well, if I go to a book club, they'll maybe I can get more guidance about how I can get the word out. Maybe they can guide me how to do this, do that, whatever. I went to the book club, and it was a large book club in a city. And everyone was going around the room, and they were talking about the book that they had written, and it came to me. It came to my turn. I had to stand up and say, well, what my book was about. And during that time, that was around 2:10, maybe 2:11 during that time, I stood up and I told them what my book was about, and you could hear a pin drop. No one wanted to hear it. No one approached me afterwards. Now, I went there 8 times. And, you know, as you would come in and you're a new person, they would make a name tag for you. They never made one for me. That's how it was back then. So this is how it is today, okay? So we're making progress, you know, and like with the YouTube, I know what you're talking about. I go on every once in a while. And I do see even some people from NASCA who have, you know, told their stories and so forth. And this is wonderful exposure because a lot of people do go to YouTube a lot, okay? The only thing I do is look up, you know, all different kinds of information. I love to do that, you know, for the show. You know, if I can find new stats, I've gotten new stats from Child Help and so forth, things like that I'll share, you know, at times when it's appropriate. But, no, people are more, they're moving forward. And what I like to see even more than anything at this point is how the men are coming forward.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
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 Oh, yes.
That's huge. This
Good.
Is a huge, huge step because when men tell their story, it's very powerful, and I'm not saying a woman's testimony or story is not, but I think we've met a milestone, right, in which now a lot of men are telling their story, and that's very, again, very powerful and very informative, and I believe very encouraging, because as you know, there's national organizations that have been kind of hurt by these stories of, you know, boys hurt as kids and Boy Scouts or the Catholic Church. Stuff like that is now coming forward, which is really, really good in the area of opening that door and kind of pushing that door open to be able to tell your story with no shame, right? To be able to tell your story with encouragement and to be able to tell your story and letting people know, hey, you're not by yourself, right? You have support and you have just that I don't want to use the word unity factor, but that common ground.
That's right. That's right, exactly right there, the common ground, okay? For so long, men had to suck it up, as they used to say, you know, sweep it under the rug, you'll get over it. You know, you're a guy. You have to act macho. You know, you can't have the same feelings that girls have, for God's sake. What kind of a man would you be? You see, there was that mentality. And whereas today, it's changing for the better, and I say for the better, because guys feel just the same way that we do. You know, I mean, they go through their bouts of depression. They go through, I had post-traumatic stress disorder to the point where it was more than just PTSD, okay? It was complex PTSD. And I suffered from agoraphobia. Well, men can do all those same things too, okay?
Yes.
If you're repetitively abused, you're more apt to develop the post, you know, the depression, where it's much more, so it's harder. You know, you need more counseling, or you need to love yourself more, like you said earlier, because so often we don't love ourselves, and then we put ourselves in risky behavior patterns. And I started to drink. My friend started to drug. I mean, drink and drug. Look, anything that changes and alters the mind to me is the same. I don't care if it's alcohol or if it's heroin, okay? Or if you're snorting coke, you know, you're changing. And you're trying to fill that hole or make that terrible feeling that we have against ourselves go away. And it doesn't have any gender on it. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. You're doing it for the same reason, you see? And so this is very, very important, you know, information for people to understand. And this is what the men are starting to understand, Tim, because they're starting to come out. They're starting to come out left and right.
Yeah.
And so they, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, well, I'll just finish my sentence and then I'll go to the panel. But they're starting to realize that it's okay. It's okay to cry. I still can't cry because I wasn't allowed to. I'd get beat if I did. So I have a really hard time with crying. And if I do cry, I get a terrible headache. And I said, the heck with that. I won't do that again anyway. So, you know, but it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel sorrow. We lost our childhoods. Many of us did. Most of us did, right? And, you know, our spirit is crushed. We're crushed. We're emotionally, sexually, physically, mentally, and neglected. So many of us go through all of that. So therefore, we have a tremendous amount of healing to do. Again, doesn't matter whether you're male or female. So if you don't get the help that you need, if you don't get what it is to take you to the point where you're going to learn to love yourself, you are going to be the person who's going to try and commit suicide, or the person who's down at the end of the bar, or the person who goes home and beats their family. I saw a lady doing that. I wonder what happened to her. Even her husband spoke to his broom on the porch. What did she do to him? You know, I mean, it was awful. You know, but, yeah, it's not always just a guy who's going to give abuse. It can be women who abuse men and their family, too. It works both ways. But many times it's because of what happened to them as they were growing up. Let me go to Pamela here. She must have something she'd like to say. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, first I wanted to ask, well, I first wanted to say thank you, Dr. Tina, for coming on and being our Tuesday guest. I think it's every second Tuesday and every month. So I want to thank you for that. And,
oh, my pleasure.
Yes. And the other thing, you were talking about these grants. Is it a general grant for mental illness all the way around because of COVID?
There's DHS has funds, and I can post it on the NASCA page, but they have from COVID, there are a lot of mental health funds available. And then I know that the Department of Justice has victim service grants as well. So
okay,
right
so
now, and then there's another grant for writers who are suffering from mental health. So what I can do is after the show, I can post the links and send them to everybody because those grants are available and they were released, I believe, in March of this year. So now they're trickling down to the communities and they have this funding to help people.
What about a grant for an organization like NASCA who's nonprofit and that we help, you know, what we do? Are there grants
yes.
for organizations?
Yes. In the Department of Justice, they have a victim services whole area, and they have grants for women. They have grants for the state. They have grants for that specialize in victim services because that's what you guys are doing. You're providing radio shows and material for victim services. And those grants are available every spring and every summer. And because you are reaching a national base of people, you could definitely apply to the DOJ. And again, I'll send you those links and I can help you with that to get funding because the money's out there, plus there's private funders, let's say Walmart, for instance, or we would just have to find the right private foundation that would love to underwrite the programming and the cost for your organization because that's available as well. And I know there's state grants from California or Florida. You know, any state has a victim services unit. So what you guys are doing is very, very important on a national level. So I would definitely know that there's hope in regards to private funding. And also individuals, there's individual foundations as well, like the Bill Gates Foundation. You know, there's all kinds of private foundations that may want to donate. And even to where, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever considered like a GoFundMe page or a NASCA, you know, annual fundraiser in which you ask local businesses and maybe even all your listeners, hey, you know, try to, you know, give a dollar or $10. And you never know because there are people that are listening right now who love what you do. And because you're a 501c3 organization, you can definitely, you know, ask, seek, and knock. And I believe those funds will come forward because you guys have been, to me, in my mind, you're the national leader in helping adults who have suffered from child sexual abuse. So I believe there's plenty of opportunities and plenty of people that would love to fund your organization.
Right. We're a national leader in the way that we are the avenue. We are the mic of the world right now. We're international, too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And so,
I don't know of any group like you guys, seriously. I mean, I know there's RAIN, but RAIN's, I think, a little bit, in my mind, more commercial. To me, you guys are grassroots. right? You're featuring these great opportunities, these great shows. And even on the Facebook page, the people just gravitate, you know, to the page and they share. They do pour their heart out. And there's a lovely community on the NASCA pages.
Right. We are a virtual community of survivors and we love one another. We care about one another. We support one another, validate one another. I mean, it's just phenomenal what this organization is about. And it's not about any one person. It's about the whole, you know, the whole membership. You know, nobody's better than anybody. It's not hierarchical. It's just, like you said,
now, grassroots. There's a lot of love, there's a lot of support, and there's a lot of sharing. And Pam, just think about, and Carol, think about the person who may be sharing with the NASCA family and not their own. You know what I mean? Because they feel safer to share with us, right? Because they know I'm going to get love, I'm going to get support, no one's going to bash me, and it's a safe environment on Facebook, on the NASCA pages.
Absolutely, absolutely. You don't have to come on and think, oh, am I going to get triggered here? I mean, there's no trigger. It's a trigger-free zone, let me tell you. Anyway, thank you for talking. I remember in the beginning of the show, I thought you were going to break down the definition of the different types of counseling. Is holistic different than faith-based, or do you consider those two the same thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because holistic therapy deals with the whole person in connecting the physical body, the brain, the spirit, and the mind, and they use different techniques. And the goal is to help individuals develop a deeper understanding of themselves. And in holistic therapy, there's the use of mediation, affirmations, and they're really big on the healing arts. And the traditional healing arts are to include music, dance, writing, poetry, and drama therapies. And the whole holistic approach, and everyone's kind of using that model right now, is to look at the whole being, meaning that not only will you explore the mental health, but you'll look at the spiritual, you'll look at the physical, you'll look at the diet, you'll look at the emotional, even financial in some sense, to make sure that that person, you look at the whole person, so they're complete and in a place where they are then able to talk about, you know, their issues. So it's a little, it's general, well, how can I say it? It's more looking at the person as a whole, whereas faith-based therapy is more spiritual, and it may focus on prayer, right, and meditation, but also let's say you may be meditating on scriptures. But it also allows you to look at the Bible, right, if you want to. And also it's just more spiritual in nature. And then, as we know, the traditional therapies are your traditional counselors that are able to help, right, a diagnose and to maybe give out medicines, but also talk therapy as well. So I just want to thank you for giving me that opportunity, because I think sometimes people can get really confused. But all areas of study are of great, great value. And my whole thing is to encourage people to seek what suits them, right? Because some may like the holistic approach. And my whole thing is that's wonderful. As long as you get help, that's the message, right? Get help so that individual can live a more productive life, but also be able to deal with their hurt and their pain, right? Because life can be better with therapy and with help.
Yeah, I had a person I talked to one day, and they were really turned off by talking about God as a father. And the reason they were that would happen is because when the dad would put the little girl that he was sexually abusing to bed, he would actually, after he sexually abused her, he would make her say the Our Father prayer, and she won't even call God Father. She just can't do it. And I said, that's okay, honey. You know, nobody's forcing you to heal the way somebody else needs to heal. We're all different, and we all need to be kind to one another and tenderhearted and not think and not force how we got healed on anybody else. Wrong to do that.
Correct. And we're living in a day and age that people do not believe in God, and people want to they want help. And to me, we need to meet people where they're at, right? When I'm counseled, I'm like, okay, how do you guys want to do this, right? We'll talk or do art therapy, journaling. There's a lot of different ways to meet people where they're at. And my whole thing is, like you said, we have to, as counselors, have to come to the table with compassion, with love, with sincerity, and with good vibes and goodwill, because then the people, the survivors, see that. And when you have that ability to love people and just to care about them, that comes through, right, in everything. So right. It, to me, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, and meeting them where they are, as if they're an atheist, you know, you don't have to agree. You know, you just see each other as a person, not as their belief. Right?
Absolutely.
Right. So that's what I wanted to get clear to everybody. NASCA is for everybody from all beliefs, all values, every walk of life, every culture. You know, we don't have any stipulations to becoming a member of NASCA, just that you have gone through child abuse and survived.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And, a lot of us do, you know, we are very spiritual people. A lot of us do. Some people are very, very religious. And then there are those that are atheists. It doesn't matter what you are. The goal here is to heal, to help you heal, and to, you know, give you paths, you know, direction, and to explain to people, you know, many times people listen that don't. I'm finding this out, that don't know that much about child abuse, what it can do to a child. Okay, so it's our job, I believe, as survivors, to teach people about child abuse. You know, what are the signs, so that they can, even in the community. Now, see, I'm a very community-minded person. I'm having a hard time here because it's so, these people are a little on the different side, but that's all right. God bless them. But there's some that are listening right now. But the point is this, if we have the tools to give people, it doesn't matter what nationality they are or what color they are or what, you know, religion they are. That has nothing to do with anything. What we deal with here is child abuse and how it affects a person and how they can heal. That's what's so, so, so important. And, of course, we do have the healing journey. And even like in AA, which I went to for a little while, I was a brat. We'll just put it that way. But I went to it for a little while. But I did learn certain things about AA, which did help me. You know, I have to have more order in my life. And, of course, the 12 steps can be used even for, in a sense, like towards child abuse. Of course, Bill would be the expert on that. And of course, if you know anything about ASCA, it's that too. But the point is that there are all different kinds of ways to heal. And that's what we really focus on here at NASCA, is trying to help people heal. And no one's unique. That's another thing. People will say, oh, I don't want to go on the show and tell my story, because listen to it. Think about it. Well, our stories are never the same. And we don't measure them either. One time is too much, okay, being sexually abused. or being beaten or being, you know, the emotional abuse. That to me is very, very heavy on a child to have to go through that, and that too carries over into adulthood. And neglect, you know, it doesn't matter which abuse it is, but we do need, you know, tools, more tools. I do like it when people write their books and then they have a workshop book too. That's always good to have. And I noticed too that online that people are starting to write books for children, and that's very good because if parents get involved and teach their children right, make it a part of parenting, as I say, make it a part of parenting, because we teach our children how to cross the street. You'll even talk about stranger danger. Don't take candy from a stranger. But you have to go much deeper than that because this is the world that we live in, not to scare the child, to educate the child, and, of course, age appropriate. And, you know, so, and I wish our schools would get more involved, of course, everything. Look at the COVID that we're living with. Some schools are opening, others aren't. I don't know what's going to happen. But if the schools were in the normal state, you know, it would be very good if children could go to someone in their school, you know, a department, whether it be the nurse or whether it be a favorite teacher, knowing that the teacher with a good background check been done, you know, they could go to serve, you know, several people. And that's a way, too, in a community where, you know, children could get help. And as far as the adults, there's programs all over the place now. Yes, there are. And a lot of times on our programs, right on the front of NASCA, a lot of times those programs are in your community, okay? Or maybe you have to travel 5 or 10 miles. So what? You're finding a program, and that's so, so, so important. And people don't judge you there because they're all there for the same reason, okay? They were abused, and they're looking for help, and you can make friends that way. So if you're lucky enough to have it in your community and you have that information so you know where to go into your community, and like you said, what number did you say? Not 911. You said what, 333? What did you say before? Not
211. Yeah, 311. That's or there's in some areas it's 311 or 211, but it's like a nonprofit or a civic hotline that you can call and just say, I need help for in the area of sexual abuse recovery, and they'll connect you to the appropriate person or group.
Okay, that's very important. That's very important because, look, when you have 1 in 4, and they're saying now 1 in 3 girls who are sexually abused before they're 18, and 1 in 5 or 6 boys by the time they're 18, well, how many kids is that who turn into adults maybe who haven't gotten help, you know? I was 30 when I, you know, started getting help. That's actually kind of young because a lot of people wait until their 40s and 50s or whatever. But I started getting help at the age of around 30, and boy, I needed it. And, you know, as time went by, it's not an overnight process. No, it's not. It's not an overnight process. You have to do the work. You had mentioned that yourself, too, Doctor. You had mentioned that people have to take responsibility for finding help for themselves. You had said that earlier on. Yeah.
Correct. And my
go ahead.
I've created, thank you, I've created a little phrase, which is personal responsibility for personal recovery. And the reason I created it was because, first of all, it's not the person's fault. It's not the child's fault. It's not the teenager's fault. It's not the adult's fault. If sexual abuse occurred in their life, a lot of times there was manipulation, they were overpowered, and they were just put in a very, very difficult place, in a different situation. And understanding that it's not their fault, but also that no blame needs to go on that child or that teenager or adult, right? Those are the foundational pieces. It's not your fault. And you are not to blame. But most importantly, I kind of got the revelation is that after someone is 21 years old, I think sometimes we hope and we pray that someone is going to see our inner pain, and sometimes it may never happen. So I thought to myself, if a person comes to that place where they know they're still hurting, they know they're in pain, they know that they're manifesting this pain and this self-destructiveness and this whole damaging feeling, then that's where enough, maybe it's a teaspoon of self-love comes into play, that after 21, they realize, you know what, I'm going to have to love myself enough to make that call, whether it's 311, or I'm going to have to love myself enough to walk in and go to the local therapist. I'm going to have to love myself enough to get help, because ultimately, if I want to live my life and I want to overcome this, and it may take years, but that's okay. If I can just muster enough strength and encouragement and a love to take that first step, then that's where the personal responsibility for personal recovery comes in, because it's like I have to be responsible for my own mental health, right? I have to be responsible for my emotional well-being. And most importantly, I have to be responsible for my own future. And if I'm struggling like I was when I, my early 30s, I was struggling with all these things that I'm talking about. And that's when I realized, you know what, I'm glad that that lady reached out to me, but now let's process this, right? Let's start writing, and writing is excellent therapy, and let's acknowledge. And so now I'm here to share with people, you know, again, personal responsibility for personal recovery, because at the end of the day, let's not wait until we're in our 60s, 70s. Let's try to today, whether I'm talking to someone who's 20, 30, or 40, or even, you know, in those ages, you know, again, personal responsibility for personal recovery. Begin to love yourself enough to seek help, because once you do that, that's where the whole journey begins, and it's a hard step, but it's well worth it.
Can I interject here?
Yes, go ahead.
People finding NASCA at an earlier age. We had a 20-year-old come on the other day, and we were just flabbergasted. She was just so, she had so much self-awareness and so much, you know, insight into what happened to her, and she was getting help. She's far along in her recovery. I'm just shocked, because what happens is, like myself, take my story. I don't know if it's true for Carol or yourself, but what happened with me, I never connected the dots. When I left out of that, I was sexually abused from the age of 4 to 18 by my mother's second husband. I didn't find out until my 50s that my mother knew and was pimping me out to him. But I never connected the dots with why I was doing drugs, why I was promiscuous, why I didn't care a hoot if I was driving 100 miles an hour down the road and got in a wreck. I mean, I got in all kinds of wrecks in my car. But I never connected the dots that it was because of the abuse. So how can a person take that personal responsibility when they're not even aware, because of repression and denial? And, you know, I don't want to go back there. I mean, because the funny thing is not funny, but the amazing thing is that, you know, we think, oh, we get out of there. And yeah, physically we do, but mentally we don't. Mentally we're right there. And to escape that, we have to numb, right?
Yeah, there has to be that moment of truth, right? There has to be that wake-up moment, or that moment in which a person realizes, why am I doing this, right? Why am I drinking and getting drunk and doing all these things? Why am I doing all these things when, in fact, sometimes I think we have to slow ourselves down, right, to get to that point. And then I think sometimes, again, it's that moment of truth, and I don't know how to explain it because I think it's different for everybody. But something happened in that, something happened in that young 20-year-old, because she, something whether the light bulb went off, something triggered her to say, get some help. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Something pushed her. I believe that in the way the universe works, something, we get that aha moment.
Yeah, yeah. And what I say, too, is if you figure out and connect the dots, go ahead and proactively work on your recovery, because if you don't and you just keep repressing it anyway, you're going to end up in the hospital, as I did several times, you know, because I didn't know that I needed to proactively address it and go to therapy, you know.
Correct. Correct. And shows like this, see, this is the power of NASCA. Because we're talking about something that if other people hear it, they can then glean and understand, hey, I feel like that. You know, I'm hurting inside. I cry all the time. I'm depressed. I'm broken. But you know what? There's this group, and they're talking about, you know, this personal responsibility stuff, or they're talking about inner pain and healing. Hey, bingo, that there goes that light. You know, I think you guys have a lot more authority and a lot more power and a lot more support than you realize, because, again, going back to Facebook, people are drawn to those pages, and people share on a level that it's beautiful. So I think you guys have something beautiful going on, and by sharing stuff like this, it just enlightens people to say, you know what, maybe I may need to make a phone call or buy Carol's book, or, you know what I mean, or continue to listen. And it's like a knock on the door. You know what I mean? Something's like this constant knocking, saying, okay, we got to deal with this. It's kind of like what I call the back, the pan on the back burner. We let it go for so long, and then it's going to blow up. And so when it blows up, you know what I'm saying? We got two choices. We can either acknowledge the pan and deal with it now, or we can deal with the blow up. And, you know, that I would choose the former rather than the latter.
That's right. A great metaphor.
Yeah, I like that. Hold on a second. Hold on. Allergies. Let me get to Bill. We haven't had him on. I don't know if he wants to say something or not. Do you want to say something, boss?
Well, sure. I called in so I could participate on the panel, and especially because I want to welcome Tina. and thank her for taking the commitment, because that's what it is, to be here every first Tuesday of the month, which it happens to be the first today. And it's a big deal, you know, to do this. This is, you are NASCA, Tina, when you commit yourself to taking a role like this. And we all belong to the family of NASCA. We all belong to the same family. So, and nobody has, as was said before, any, there's no hierarchy here. We're all the same. Mm-hmm. And you seem to understand that extremely well, and I'm delighted to have you. So I really was just calling in to say thank you. Now, I will make one comment since I have the floor. Somebody mentioned about how, I think it was Pamela told a story about how this woman had a problem with God the Father. And I want to say that sometimes the problem is not God, it's the Father, it's the word Father. And so in my way of recovery, they invited me to create a different concept of God. Whatever would be comfortable to me, I was allowed to do. And so I stopped thinking of God the Father as being the guy who's keeping score. You know, my father was pretty strict, but my family was very strict. And although they were also, to some measure, reasonable if I paid back. I had to pay back whenever I broke something. I had to pay it back. You know, so, my God the Father turned into a different thing because I stopped thinking him as the guy on the mountaintop with the lightning bolt in his hand, you know, the guy that was keeping score. I stopped thinking of him as somebody who was out to get me, you know, always watching over my shoulder for my mistakes and never noticing my accomplishments and so forth. So it was the father part that was the problem I discovered, not the fact that I believed in God. It's that I was taught a concept of God with which I was uncomfortable. And so I created a new concept. And you know what? It worked. I invite other people to think about that a little bit.
Sure.
But as also was said here, you know, we have many paths to recovery, many tools like the dance therapy and the animal therapy and the writing and I don't know, hypnosis and EMDR and all kinds of tools, you know, journaling and all kinds of therapies. We have traditional counselors and psychiatrists and life coaches and ministers and on and on and on. They're all, I mean, in my case, it was sponsors, you know, in a 12-step program. But whatever it is, there is help out there. We have to go seek it, and we have to, you know, NASCA doesn't tell you which kind of recovery to follow. We explain them all, and we encourage you to, you know, pick the one that seems to be best for you, most comfortable for you, and go follow it. Go do it. But you have to do it. And I believe it, Tina, it doesn't just descend on you. It does require work. So I don't want to kid people who are listening to this program and think, you know, it's going to be an easy journey. It won't be. It won't be.
You're absolutely right, Bill, and thank you, because I consider myself, I really loved the organization, and I've always had a very fond, just fond respect for what everyone does, because this is a great, great dynamic organization, and you feel the love, you know, and so I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well, this is what it's all about, being of love and service, and we do that each to the other. So, you know, we are not judgmental. We don't fire people. We don't, you know, and everything's free. We're all volunteers. We could use some of that advice you're going to give, and I don't want to get into it now, but you're going to give out about probably pursuing at least grants that don't require us to follow their tradition, but can continue to follow our own, because we would like to grow a little more. And the only way we can do that really is at this point. We're kind of saturated at the point we're at. We need to get an influx of support going, financial support going to grow a little more. But that's coming. And I really appreciate the acknowledgement of NASCA's importance in the recovery world too. So appreciate your being here. And I'll shut up now. Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome, sweetie. All right, Tina. It says here, and I think this actually applies to everyone. It says here, Tina explains, for her, the spiritual aspect of inner healing is crucial for her full recovery. I think, see, we're so wounded inside. I think that's, you know, something for everyone. You know, we have to get that inner child in order, in place, and to understand, you know, again, that this isn't our fault. The shame is in the wrong place. It's not, we shouldn't feel shame for, you know, for certain things that happened in our lives. A lot of us went out on the streets. I was out on the streets. A lot of people become, you know, promiscuous. They're looking for love, and sometimes they're looking for money because they have to eat, don't they? So, you know, whatever they do. And then there are those people that, you know, just simply do drugs. They OD. Some die. I had two people die right in front of me, for God's sake. That wasn't cool. And I couldn't help them. The police were coming. I was drunk. And they were dead. I mean, we see horrible, horrific things because I was thrown out of my home for no reason and beaten and all kinds of stuff. I didn't even know I'd been beaten. Except that I had to clean up after my brother, who made messes, and he was 5 years older than me. And if I did dare talk back and say, why should I? Why can't he clean his own mess, which only makes common sense, when I get a beating? I'd have to go even get my own switch. Well, that's how I was brought up, along with all the sexual things that happened. So, you see, we see horrible, horrific things. And we end up doing, like I said earlier, a lot of times putting ourselves in harm's way, you know, and doing things that, you know, maybe we wouldn't have done. But we have to heal that child, the spiritual part of us, inside of us, and that child who's still saying, hey, you know, look at me, am I okay?
Sure.
The child wants to be loved. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, and every it's that inner pain and that inner brokenness of not being accepted, right? And being, again, I use the word manipulated, and being overpowered. That is a very heavy experience for a child, and to be threatened, right? And to be manipulated is not good, and it's not appropriate behavior. So all of that healing needs to take place. And like Bill said, it is a journey, right? It is a journey, whether it's a 10-year journey, or I believe it's a continual journey. But the most important step is to, get that gentle nudge. I need to love myself to get help, right? And I kind of knew, only because I was 32 and I had other businesses and stuff, and nothing seemed to really work out. And I'm like, what is going on? You know, and so I not only had a spiritual awakening, but that spiritual awakening allowed me to deal with my sexual abuse past, right? I had to process that, and I had to write about it and understand it. And then it was like, okay, again, the pot on the stove kind of blew up, and I really stopped my life and said, okay, let's acknowledge this, right? Let's accept this. Let's look at this truth and let's work this out, right? Because life's not over. You know, there's help out there. And again, I just encourage people to know that you're not alone, right? NASCA loves you, but most importantly, NASCA offers that helping hand of helpful resources. And so I think we all share that. We all share that desire to help the person listening, right? Because we want them to be hugged, right, in the spirit, or when we want them to know, hey, it's going to be okay, right? You can start your journey, because let's see what's, like I tell people, what's on the other side of your pain right now, right? If all you know is brokenness, hurt, depression, all these things, what's on the other side of it? And let's have the courage to make that step to pursue healing. And it's a big step. I acknowledge that, but I believe it's worth it with self-love. I really do.
It is so true, Dr. Tina. We have two people I'm going to bring on in just a second, but that is just so true. Because even though the most horrific stories, you know, that we hear, okay, whatever it might be, there is love yet. We can learn to love ourselves, and we can love others, and we can, with the proper help, we can also, too, you know, become people who are meant to be, you know. We were always told that we were people that had no worth. Maybe we were stupid or this or that, whatever the case might be. And the truth of the matter is they were bullies, okay. And all my people are dead now. I think my brother's dead, too, but I'm not sure, and I don't care. But anyway, the point is, I know who I am today. See, you get a sense of self. And this is why the healing journey is so. Yes. This is why the healing journey is so important. Because once you get to a certain point in that healing journey, you do finally come in touch with your inner self and yourself. You get a sense of who you are, what you're meant to be, that you are lovable, that you are a person of worth, and all the things that you've been told that you're not, you are. All the positive things that could be, you are, and you become. Let me get Mark on here, and then I see Darlene, who's the ambassador for Tennessee. She, too, has joined the show. So, Mark, go ahead. Do you have a comment you'd like to make?
Yes, I'd like to comment on something Well, first off, I want to say thank you, Dr. Tina, for coming on for the Tuesday's Survivors Professional slot. And I really enjoyed listening to what your insight in that, and I think it'll be a great help. And I want to go back to a comment made about men sharing their stories. And I just want to encourage men and who are listening to get in touch with NASCA and ask to be on the show to tell your story, because it's not your fault. It was never your fault. And that it's not nothing about a macho or tough guy. It's about getting healing, about sharing your story. And in NASCA, you can share your story without judgment, without any kind of reproof. And I just want to encourage men who are listening to do that. In the past 5 months of the show, there's an average of about 12 to 13 special guest shows a month. In these past 5 months, we've had about 16 men come on, which is about 1 in 4 so far. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see that number be even larger for men to share your story, because it's vitally important, not only for one, you personally, to help your healing, but you're sharing your story for other men. And the more that the tough guy men population realize that, and you can change that, you can break the cycle in your family, in your community, and you can share your story to help other men, you know. So that's all I really wanted to make a comment about, and just to thank you, Dr. Tina, for being a part of NASCA Now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's so true. The men have to come on. They're coming on. And I'm just delighted that they feel comfortable enough. You know, it shows that we have a good platform here. Because like you said, there have been a lot of guys that have been coming on. I think Friday's guest, if I remember correctly, might be a male. And I'll be lucky enough to have him. But anyway, let's go down to Darlene here, who again is ambassador for Tennessee. Is there something you'd like to say, Darlene?
Yes, I heard y'all talking about father, and I agree with Bill some of it, but I cannot stand mother because my birth mom, you know, she got mad at me because I never called her mother. And now, you know, because of that, mother may I or anything like that, now I could go like that and do it like in a stiff kind of way, like, you know what I mean? But I would never call her mother because she didn't do much of the raising of me. And I was, you know, she abandoned me and stuff, you know. But anyway, with a father thing, how everybody is so quick to blame God, they don't want to hear about God. They say, well, I don't want to think about God because God didn't get me in this predicament. Oh, but you're thinking about it and you're saying, but he get out of this predicament, but hell, it's going to be God. Yeah. And I know it's God that helped me out. Okay, I know that personally, without a doubt. And but everybody's got their own beliefs and everything, but they cannot blame men's free will. They cannot blame that on God. You know, everybody's got free will, whether you choose to go to the store and get some alcohol or you choose to get some drugs, you know, or start, you know, whether you decide to go ahead and go home with somebody or something. That's your own choices. And if they got rid of the bad in one section, right, they would have had to get rid of all the bad that even that we had done when we sinned, even just a little bit, you know. So I had to do part, a lot of it with men's free will, you know. And I, too, was... I was abused basically since birth, and I was abused by members of the church, not sexually, but members of the church. I was abused, like, spiritually, and how they told me it's best to let my husband kill me. It's the only way to heaven. So it's just a yada, yada, that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, it's not God that said these things. It was man. Just because it's man at church that might be an elder or a preacher or something like that, don't mean it's really God's word.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. I definitely agree, and I'm trying to be very, all of my stuff is faith-based. I'm probably an 80% faith-based God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, writer. And so I agree with you totally. I think people have, you cannot blame God when man does have free will. There is evil, right? There is sexual perversion, mm-hmm. which occurs. And I think we have to find that delicate balance in everyone's journey. But again, that's why we live in a nation that we do have the faith-based community that's coming out with faith-based material. We do have the holistic community, right, coming out with their material. And then our traditional, MBA, not MBAs, but the social workers and all of that good stuff. So we have balance, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. Because we had no faith in something. We had to have some kind of little light, a little glimmer that helped us through. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree totally.
Even though we might not remember it, because we have a lot of memories that are blocked as well.
Correct, and I think that's the hope, right? That, in my humble opinion, the hope is light, right? Let's just break it down to a room's dark, right? There's a darkness, the depression, all of the bad things. But when that light comes in, right, that light dominates the room, and that light contains the beauty and the power that a person needs to gain healing.
Right. So when you go like and you start talking, and like today I was letting some of the people know and ask chatters about the group today, and maybe I should get on the other NASCA thing too, you know, and I had invited them. But it's like I've been overwhelmed a little bit lately trying to get a lot of things done, you know. So it's like I'm buying time, and I hadn't even got to go and check on my kids or nothing with the holidays. So I'm still behind on everything. And my kids are grown. You know, they have their own lives and everything. But thank God they do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
They don't believe in a justice system, because when a justice system, they actually heard cops say, well, my husband could beat me up all he wanted as long as he didn't kill me. I mean, they actually heard the police tell them that, okay? So, yeah, they ain't going to believe the justice system, and they ain't going to trust the justice system, the police or nothing.
Well, there is a lot of areas of concern. You know, you have the good and the bad and the ugly, okay? And you have the good and the bad and the ugly in the Justice Department as well, and the police departments. I was always fortunate, and I have to use that too, with the jobs that I worked at where police officers worked also, they were good cops, okay? And the judges that I went before with the kids, to decide if they were going to go into foster care or go back to juvie, because I worked several different places, county and state. But the point is this, those judges were fair too. So, but I do know that there's always bad too. There's good and then there's bad. All right, there's good and there's bad. And even in my case, I had a wonderful CPS worker who took that. If I had any shame in me at all, Darlene, any shame in me at all, she took it right away from me, just by one sentence. And that sentence is, I don't ever, ever want you to think that this was your fault.
Correct.
Now,
right.
The way she
That's
said it.
That's what they did.
The way she said it. It just, I felt my whole body just, like, you know, collapse almost from, you know, feeling so good. Just like a ton of bricks have been lifted off of me. Because in my family, it was so often, you know, well, you know, you should have been a little smarter. You shouldn't have gone down to the street so close. That's why you got grabbed. And instead of feeling, you know, get me help or whatever a child needs, and there's so much that we need. Instead, they put that guilt upon me. In other words, it was your fault. It was your fault. It was your fault. And in the Justice Department, there's a lot of things that have to be fixed. A lot of things are trying to be changed now. We have people, even from NASCA, who are working on the statute of limitations, to get them removed. And they run into roadblocks. And I have a funny feeling what those roadblocks are, but I won't say it on air right now. But the point is this. We are making progress. We still have horror stories. We still have things that don't make sense to you and things that don't make sense to me. And, you know, but on the other hand, we are coming together closer under the umbrella, like Bill speaks about, where all the groups should be together under that umbrella working together. But it, remember this. A lot happens. It all happens many times in the home. If you come from a good home, a normie home, as we call it, and get proper training and proper love and acceptance, all the things that we didn't get, those kids, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, they're going to turn out to be good children and turn into good adults and not have, you know, any of the problems that we had. You come from a background like what we've been through, walk in our shoes. Even with the homeless, a lot of them walked in our shoes, so I don't judge yes. them. And I work with them. So what I'm trying to say here is it's taking a long time, a lot longer than any of us would like it to take. But there are changes that are going to happen. But we have to get the ickiness that's in the world right now out of the way, okay? And that means the COVID, and then maybe not to get political, but some of the politics, I'll just leave it that way. All that stuff that's in the way that's not for the good of the people, out of the way. And then we can concentrate more, and hopefully our voices will be heard even more than they're being heard now. But, yes, they are being heard by a lot of people. That's the truth.
Yes, I agree.
So it's 9:19. What does my clock say? You tell me, Darlene. What time is it? Oh, you wouldn't be the one. Oh, you're not Eastern Standard.
Mine says 8:17, so you're an hour ahead. See, you're an hour and 2 minutes ahead.
I'm about right. Okay, I'm about right. My clock on my computer, it does weird things. We'll leave it at that. Okay, so I'm just about at the right time here. So what we do at the end of the show is, and we're getting close to the end of the show. First of all, is there anything on the panel, anyone on the panel that someone wants to bring up? Because then at the end, I would like the doctor to leave, you know, a few words of hope or whatever she has to say at the end. So is there someone here, Pamela, is there something you'd like to interject or speak about quickly?
No, I think it's pretty much been covered tonight. I think we covered it in a great fashion. It's been a great show. Thank you, Dr. Medina. Can't wait to hear you next month. And thank you for the research time you spent to let us know about the different modalities and pathways to healing.
And that's important. Very, very important. What I'm going to do, what I do is after a great show, and I consider this a very informative show that we had tonight, I always post it on our Facebook, okay, great show, and I'll put your name, and then also, too, about, you know, healing, ways to healing, and so forth and so on, because you were a wonderful guest, and I thank you so much, you know, for coming on, and we have the privilege of having you twice a month from the sounds of it, so I look forward to your next show. What would you leave? Oh, you bet. What would you leave with the people tonight? If there's something else you'd like to speak about, you still have about 7 or 8 minutes, something like that. Go ahead.
I would say be encouraged and know that your life, the fact that you survived the sexual abuse, proves that you're strong and resilient. And just be encouraged and go to the NASCA website and begin to glean and look into which organization is in your state or maybe even in another state that you would like to get help from. Because with encouragement, you can then position yourself just to take that first step on that journey. I mean, if we could do anything here tonight, it would be to encourage that person who may be on the fence. You know, do I get help? Do I not get help? Do I trust anyone? Do I, you know, keep this in my heart, in my spirit, and not ever get help, right? I think a person has always the choice and the power to make that decision to choose. But I would just encourage the listeners to consider making that very first step to get help. Right, that very first step is going to be the most important step ever. And just be encouraged. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. Right? You are not in this without any help or resources, because there are. Right? With NASCA, you have a family of people that are sincere. And that had been volunteering for what, 12, 15 years, 20 years? Mm-hmm. So the level of love is present. So just take that step, right? Be encouraged and know that there's help. And in all of that encouragement and in all that help, there's going to be something good on the other side, because once you begin the journey to process your pain, process the bad memories, the nightmares, all of that, there on the other side of all that pain is going to be something really good. And that's when you can grow, learn, discover who you are, what are your gifts, talents, skills, and abilities, and walk into the fullness of who you were always meant to be. And again, just be encouraged, be strong, and just love yourself enough to even think of hope, right? Sometimes we can get so down on ourselves that we think, oh, my God, my world's crashing down and there's no hope and there's no help. And then you hear from someone from the outside and they inspire you. So I'm hoping that we can be that little spark that lights of that dark room and says, hey, be encouraged, be hopeful, and just know that NASCA's here for you. And just reach out and just begin that journey, because there is life and there is good side to all of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's correct. That's correct. And when you mention the contact, one thing I should mention, too, is we do have the contact, page here. And I'm the night owl. I stay up until all hours of the night. People think I'm nuts and I don't really care, okay? So, you know, I get a lot of calls in the middle of the night. And Darlene, you stay up late, too, at times. I don't want to hear it. So we have good chats. But, yeah, but, you know, there are people here that you can turn to, you know, and get help. And that's what we're here for. We're here to help people. Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I want them to know also that there's a NASCA Zoom group also that meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So Eastern Time, it's an hour ahead. Other times, anyway. So anyway. And we're here to support.
No, it's good.
And we are not here to condemn. You were about to ask a question?
No, honey. I was listening to you. Go ahead.
Okay. We do not record, like the Blog Talk radio, they are recorded, but over here at Zoom, they're not. So what says in the room stays in the room, but we are there and respect of one another. We do not condemn anyone. Mm-hmm. And I want people to know that if you go to help and you feel at all like the person's treating you wrong, or you feel like you ain't getting nowhere with this person, like they don't care, they're too busy on the phone with something else, by all means, you got the right to look for someone else, please. Find someone who believes you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, okay? And so you see, again, we offer so many different things. We do. And Dr. Tina, she's seeing that now. Through NASCA, we do offer a lot of help, okay? And I have been blessed enough to have people actually send me emails of saying thank you just by sitting up and talking to them. You know, sometimes all we have to do, well, the first thing that all of us should do is have a listening ear, okay?
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's all people need is to hear a human voice because they're alone. I'm alone, but I like being alone. I always was a little different. But anyway, the point is, you know, a lot of times people, especially in these scary times and things that we're going through in this world, they're triggered. They're having nightmares. They're having all different kinds of things. And, you know, they need someone to talk to. And that's where the contact list comes in very, very handy. Maybe you can talk to me. You can talk to Darlene. We are on that list. And there's a lot of people on that list. So if you call and you can't get that person, continue on down. Now, you can always get me in the AM, okay, in the AM. And my number is right there. I'm Carol Levine. I am vice president of NASCA, and it has me down there. So you will see. And then, of course, we have Darlene. There's so many more, you know. So, you know, you're never alone. Because we are here, you're never alone. So that's something to keep in mind, too. And it's very important to know that you're not alone. Because let me tell you something. A little sound you hear in the daytime, okay, doesn't do anything. But in the AM, you hear that same sound, and it sounds like a cannonball, all right? So what happens in people's minds is when they have, you know, things that they're worried about or something, they've been triggered, maybe it doesn't trigger them as badly during the day part, and then they go to bed, they have nightmares and all this other stuff, and they need someone to talk to. That's what we're here for, okay? And anyway, this has been a very good show. And I want to thank you, too, Doctor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, you know, that during these holidays, you know, you might hear fireworks going off, and that really makes the PTSD go rampant, if you know what I mean, you know. So.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And, you know, they say, I'm going to say this quickly, they do say that, like, those who come back from war, of course, many, many, many of them have PTSD. They suffer from it. But child abuse is put in the same category as those who come back from war. We are in the front lines because we are the ones who were victimized, and we are survivors. We are survivors. And those who came back, they're survivors, too. Yes. Yes. Amen to that. Yeah, we can give ourselves a round of applause. Yay, we made it, honey. Yes, we did. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you
Survivors
go. We did it. But anyway, so
thank you, Doctor.
We come to the end of the show. Yeah. And
thank you.
I can't wait for the next show. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate you.
Gina will be our hyphenate, our co-host, every first Tuesday of the month. Every first Tuesday of the month, Gina will be our hyphenate co-host, and I'm delighted to make that announcement. I really appreciate her being here this evening for the first time in that capacity. God bless you, Gina.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Okay. Well, God bless everybody. God bless America, and more do we need it right now. And God bless the children and also the survivors. And good night. We will be back again tomorrow with another guest. Good night now.
Blog Talk Radio.